Okay, so this is now the third interview with my friend Nelly Marasco on her recollections of the war. And now, as I understand, Nelly, before the war, before the Germans even came to invaded Brussels, where your family was living, that you actually had tenants.
Yes.
Who were on the second floor.
Right.
And it just happened to be a Jewish family.
Right.
And the way they heard about it was that this is before the Germans came, that this house was you had an apartment for rent, and they showed up one day, and do you remember their name at all?
I don't remember their names.
Can you describe what they looked like?
What did they look like?
Yeah.
She was a lady. I remember she had dark hair. She was very pretty.
How old?
How old?
Yeah.
I would say maybe in her 30s.
I see. And a husband?
And then she had a husband. And I don't remember, visualize what he looked like. But they were a nice couple.
One child.
And then a little girl.
A little girl.
Yes.
I see. So they were nice people.
Oh, yes.
And you liked them. They paid their rent. They were very good. Okay.
And I became very close to the little girl because I used to go up to their apartment and play with her.
Play with the little girl.
Yes.
Okay. So here you are with this Jewish family, and you knew they were Jewish.
Yes,
They told you they were Jewish, but in those days, so what?
So what?
Okay, so that's really great. Okay, so then the Germans come and they invade Brussels, but now here you are with a Jewish family on the second floor.
Right.
So was that a subject of discussion within your family, your father, mother? Here the Germans are now here. You obviously know that the Germans were persecuting Jewish
people.
And that they're, as you say, pointed out, the Jewish stores started to be closed down. Did you and your family discuss what to do, or did you?
Well, my parents had told them, you know, the Jewish couple, they said, they told about the hole in the back.
Yeah, with the well, you mean?
The second building.
Yes.
And they had said, because they knew, my parents knew, that the damn Gestapo was looking for Jews.
Yes.
And they had said, look, if ever the Gestapo comes here looking for Jews, what you do, there's that hole there. My mother, she told them, if you hear the doorbell ring, look outside quickly and see if there's a car. If there's a car, you can be sure it's the Gestapo because nobody else had the car. So what you do is you run downstairs as fast as you can and jump in that hole.
Amazing.
And make sure, you know, don't make a sound.
How big was the hole?
I told you, it was that big.
Well, but for one person, what about, you got three people here.
You go one after the other.
And stand on top of each other's head?
No, you just go like that and jump in the hole.
How deep was the hole?
I mean, I was in that hole just out of curiosity.
Uh-huh. I see.
Okay. And then they said, make sure you put a piece of linoleum on top of the hole.
I see. But so your family had a discussion.
Yes.
And did anybody, your father, mother, say, you know, this is too dangerous, we ought to ask them to leave?
No, never once.
And nobody expressed we're going to get shot if the Gestapo discovers
it? My mother just told them that if the Gestapo ever come, run downstairs as fast as you can, and I wait to open the door to make sure you are in that hole.
I see.
And then, you know, see what happens.
This underlying theme of these interviews is one of character. Your parents showed enormous character because there was never a doubt that you would turn them in.
Oh God, no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really important to me. Well, I mean, many people did. many people were frightened. They were trying to protect their family.
That never came to their mind.
Isn't that interesting?
Because they were so angry about the Gestapo looking for Jews.
I see.
You know, so when they came into the door, the Gestapo rang the doorbell. They looked out the window, saw the car, and then they ran downstairs as fast as they can. And my mother was standing in the hallway waiting for them to jump in that hole.
So this was, how soon after the invasion, the occupation of Brussels, did this particular event happen? Because I just want to break out the sequence, because you're saying your mother told them about the hole and what they do. A week later, did the Gestapo come? A few days later? How soon after?
Well, that I don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay. But the fact is, they showed up.
Oh, yeah, they showed up.
What was that like? I mean, they're banging on the door?
They are banging on the door, ringing the doorbell, making a lot of noise.
And they're...
And offenmachen.
Offenmachen means open up the door.
Open up,
Meanwhile,
open up.
This Jewish family is scurrying down the stairs and running into the...
The hole?
Into the hole.
Right.
So then what
and
happened?
The little girl wasn't there anymore. She was in the farm.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. I mean, you were helping her
yes.
in the farm. We'll come back to that story later. That'll be another story. But, okay, so now the Gestapo are screeching and banging and they're open machen.
Offenmachen.
And my German is not very good. Okay. So then they somehow they get down the stairs. No, nobody can see through, I guess. The door's blocking.
No.
And they go to the back... Into the well.
Right.
So the door is opened.
So then my mother opens the door.
So who comes in?
And there were a couple of guys.
Okay. How were they dressed?
Well, they were a uniform.
Oh, military uniform?
A German uniform.
German military, not black leather. Sometimes in the movies you see people in black leather, scary looking black leather. They were uniformed.
Right.
I see. And what do they say after offenmachen?
They were screaming at my mother
uh-huh.
because, you know, she took so long to open the door.
They had guns, obviously.
And, of course, they had their guns yeah. with them.
So what happened then?
Well, then my mother, you know what she was saying. She said, I'm an old lady. She says, it takes time for me to come from downstairs because we live down below the floor there. To come and open the door. It takes me time. I'm an old lady.
Of course, your mother wasn't such an old lady.
No.
She was about, what, in her 50s or 40s?
No, in her 50s.
In her 50s.
And, okay, they said, well, here we are for Jews. And then my mother said, Jews? What Jews? And they said, we know, we have been told that you have a couple of Jews that live here in the house. My mother said, no way, no way. And then my father was there also. He said, what's going on here? You know, and then they said, we want to look for Jews. I said, go ahead and look. There are no Jews here. So then they looked, but then they left the door open.
To their second story room.
Right.
Apartment.
And she had been ironing. And the iron was still hot.
Oh my God.
So they said, where are these people that live here? My mother said, I don't know. She says, we don't keep check of the tenants that come and go. Maybe they went out shopping or something with a hot iron left. So they said, well, maybe they forgot, you know, and they left like that. So we don't know, but that's it. So they looked. Okay.
But there was no holy books. There was no evidence that they were Jews.
No.
In the second story apartment.
No.
I see. They weren't particularly religious Jews.
They what?
Not religious.
Oh, yes, they were religious.
They were religious.
Especially him.
I see.
The husband. Because on Saturday, you know, he wouldn't do a thing because it was a Sabbath.
A Shabbat, right? Yeah.
And anyhow, so that was it. So they look all over the Germans. Then they go to the back house, you know, across the yard and go back there. And then my mother was there. She says, I don't know that they didn't see my heart beating.
Right.
Because she was so scared.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She said, they might be coughing. They might be sneezing. you know, making some kind of a noise. All the Germans had to do is just move this little piece of linoleum and see there was a hole there. But luckily they didn't do that.
So did you witness all of this yourself? Were you there?
I was there, yes.
What were you feeling when this is all going on?
Well, I was scared to death.
I'm sure you were.
I stuck with my mother. I didn't say a word. You know, all I did was listening, but I was scared stiff.
So there they go now into the back.
Yes.
Are they pushing things over, or they're...
No, I told you they look, because there were all this machinery from
You had mentioned that, from the butcher store, yeah.
And they were there.
What did they make of that?
This empty space.
What did they think of all that machinery?
They didn't say anything.
That's odd. How come?
They didn't ask.
They didn't ask. Isn't that interesting?
They were just looking.
How did you know they were Gestapo as opposed to just German soldiers?
Well, because my parents knew it was the Gestapo.
I see. Did they identify themselves?
Oh, yes.
My name is Herr, yes. Somebody.
Yes.
Okay, so they go back and they're looking there. There's this sort of well covered by linoleum.
Yes.
Well, they only spent a few minutes, and then they took your word for that there's no Jews?
Well, they looked. Then they looked other places. You know, I didn't see anybody. And then they said, well, we'll be back.
I see.
Because we know you have the Jews here. And then my father, he got mad at them, you know. He says, for God's sake, you know, how many times do I have to tell you we don't have any Jews in the house?
So he was screaming.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember you had, when before we began this interview, you said that your father, and we know, as we in an earlier interview, that your father had a, you know, had an infantile paralysis. He had some physical incapacity. But you said he had a voice like thunder.
Oh. His mind was as clear as a bell and loud, loud, loud. I mean, when he talked, you pay attention.
So what did he say to them? What did it sound like? And what did he...
Well, like I said, he was angry at them. You know, he said, how many times do I have to tell you we don't have any Jews in the house?
I see. So he's screaming at them.
Yes.
And what are they doing?
Well, like my father said, if you scream louder than them, then they are impressed and they don't say anything.
That's very
interesting. If you show that you are afraid, then they have it all over you.
That's very interesting. So in some sense, there's other stories I tell sometimes in my negotiation courses, that sometimes people feel, who are used to bullying people, if somebody kind of screams back at them, you're one of them.
Right.
And they can kind of relate to that in a funny kind of a way. And so, this man must be tough and strong.
Right.
I respect that.
And especially he spoke German fluently.
I see.
So that was another plus.
I see. So, okay, so then we'll be back, they say.
Yes.
Did they ever come back?
They did. And but once they left, my parents told the people, when they came out of the hole, you can't stay here anymore. We have to take you somewhere else because they're going to come back for you.
I see.
You know.
And so they then left.
Oh, yeah. Well, but my father, he quickly, you know, tried to find an outlet for them.
I see.
So they left.
I see.
That
was wise. Well, we'll come back to in another story how I guess at the end of the war they did in fact, these Jewish couple did come back to your home.
Oh yes.
But we'll talk about that in another interview. But anyway, I suppose this story concludes that the Germans came, they looked, and they said they couldn't find them, and they said we left, and then we will come back, they said. So the Jewish family then, after they left, the Germans left, they then came to you, and you got together, you met them, and did your father say you have to leave immediately?
Well, my father said leave as quickly as possible.
And when did they leave?
Well, they got their stuff together, you know, and then my father took them somewhere.
That very day. It's amazing that the house wasn't being surveyed by the Germans. But did you go out the back door, the front door?
No.
Which door?
The front door.
That's quite extraordinary that somehow you'd think that the Germans were so sure that that you were harboring Jews that they would have had the house 24 hours surveyed.
No, they didn't know.
They didn't. Isn't that interesting? And so your father had made arrangements for them. Where did he make arrangements for them to be?
My father didn't tell us.
I mean, it was through the resistance and through connections that he had.
Right.
So they then took everything out.
Well, they took their belongings.
Belongings. And
like the furniture and all that that was left
and
there.
How did you feel having witnessed this? Did you feel sad?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely.
It's amazing it was quite amazing that they didn't discover them. And so you had you said goodbye to each other, you embraced, and then the family left. And you didn't see them until the end of the war. Is that right? Okay, well, that's a wonderful story, and it's really a credit to...
my father was very secretive about what he was doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I told you, when I was in town and I was walking and I saw on the other side of the street, I saw my father walking back and forth, because he never took anybody that was also from the underground to our house, never.
See, that was very interesting, because he was also very protective of his family.
And yes.
Obviously, if Gestapo knew that your family were complicit, obviously then they would have executed everybody. Yeah. Well, that's an amazing story, Nellie. So we'll stop here.